Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason in with a check of the marketplace from Chicago at the CME Group, where futures in the corn pit are now about 2 cents higher. Beans are up around 3, and wheat futures are 9 cents higher for the day. We'll check in with Ilan Dearden in just a moment to see why that is the case in Chicago. The national average basis for corn overnight was 3 cents weaker, that at 40 cents under now the December contract. The DTN National Corn Index 2 cents lower at $2.81 a bushel cash price nationwide. The national average for basis, 7 cents weaker at 64 cents under the November. That's the lead option futures contract. The index from DTN, 3 cents lower for the cash price at $8.53. Hey, have you purchased your ticket just yet for our Farm Assets Conference? That's in Normal, Illinois, on the Illinois State University campus at the Marriott Hotel, the 24th day of November. That's the Monday before Thanksgiving. We'll have presentations on land values, crop insurance, the ARC and PLC decision, and of course, 12 of our analysts along. The price is just $25. Buy online at willag.org or dial this number, 800-898-1065. That's 800-898-1065.
Support for agricultural weather comes from the Friends of WILL and from Busey, with strategy planning for future generations to fit individual needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Now here's meteorologist Drew Lerner from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
Some strong thunderstorms occurred across portions of the Midwest yesterday. In parts of Missouri, where 1 to 4 inches of rain was being suggested in the Doppler radar imagery, and thunderstorms this morning continue to rumble out of Missouri into portions of Illinois. And overnight, we also saw some rain occur across portions of Nebraska and Kansas as well, and that event is going to catch up with the previous area of rainfall, and the two will merge together for another rainy day today across the western and central portions of the Corn Belt. As we go through the night tonight and into the day tomorrow, the precipitation event will shift more into the easternmost parts of the region, and today should be a relatively good day for harvest activity in areas like Ohio, Indiana, and parts of Kentucky, where there won't be much precipitation until rather late in the day, more likely overnight tonight into tomorrow. We do expect to see additional precipitation occurring in the easternmost sections of the Midwest through a fair amount of the day tomorrow, but we will likely see all of the precipitation come to an end with the exception of the Great Lakes region on Saturday. The Great Lakes region will see some instability showers Saturday, Sunday, and maybe even on Monday. And there may be a few showers that will work their way through the lower eastern Midwest again as we go through the day Monday as well. That precipitation on Monday will run anywhere from just a few hundredths of an inch upwards to 3 or 4 tenths of an inch, whereas today's and tomorrow's rainfall will be notably greater, with a number of locations picking up on 0.5 to 1.5 inches and some local totals getting well over 2 inches in a few locations. A few of the storms today will produce some locally heavy rain and some isolated pockets of flooding possibly. There may also be some pockets of hail reported as well, but we don't expect a widespread severe weather outbreak. The cooler air that's going to come into the Midwest after this rain event will be rather significant. In fact, potent is the better word. We'll expect most of the Dakotas and Montana down into western Nebraska to see freezes tomorrow morning, and then as we go into Saturday morning, the freezes will occur through the eastern Dakotas and portions of Minnesota, southward into much of Nebraska, northern and northwestern Kansas, and northeastern Colorado. Maybe a portion of western Iowa will also see freezing temperatures on Saturday morning. The coldest temperatures will be in the lower 20s across a part of North Dakota and maybe a few spots in northern portions of South Dakota. Otherwise, upper 20s and lower 30s will occur in the remainder of these described areas. We'll expect the frost and freeze conditions to shift a little further to the east on Sunday, but the air mass will be moderating considerably by then. We don't expect to see any notable damage coming from the cold that occurs that morning. There is potential for some of those more immature crops in the Dakotas and Minnesota and areas nearby to experience some damage. damage from this cold coming up, but the majority of the crop is in much better shape to handle such conditions relative to the cold event that occurred earlier last month. So we do expect to see a little bit of change in quality in some of those immature crop areas, but for the most part, it shouldn't be a big negative impact for the majority of the Midwest. And temperatures are going to be rebounding a little bit as we move towards the first part of next week. It looks like there will be perhaps another opportunity for rain coming into the heart of the Midwest during the middle to latter part of next week, but confidence in that system is not very high. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Our thanks, of course, go to Drew Lerner for his daily updates of the agricultural weather forecast for the Midwest, the nation, and the planet. Here the way the numbers are trading in Chicago at this hour. On the last tick, December corn was a penny and a half higher, March up 1 1/2, and July up 1 3/4. Bean futures were 3.5 cents higher, January up 3.5, March up 3 3/4, and July up 2.5 cents. Bean meal futures up 160, bean oil unchanged. Soft red winter wheat in the December 8 3/4 cents higher. Live cattle futures up 55 cents in the lead October. Feeder cattle October up 270, and lean hogs in the October contract down $1.50. On this Thursday morning, let's turn our attention to analysis of the marketplace. To help us out with that is Ellen Dearden from AgriView in Morton, Illinois. Good morning to you, Ellen.
Good morning, Todd.
Well, we probably ought to talk about what's been happening. Let's start with local things that are happening here overnight, 45 hundredths of an inch outside of the studios in Urbana-Champaign. Did you get rainfall in the Morton area?
We did, and my guess is, I haven't checked our gauge, but my guess is we're somewhere in the 3 to 4 tenths category. The heavier amounts look like they were south of here. And, you know, some areas the rainfall amounts are going to stick around for another day or so. I'm thinking southern Indiana, southern Illinois, and that may hamper guys that thought they were going to get some wheat planted right here.
Things may slow down a bit on the farm, though it doesn't take them very long to get back into the cornfields. Certainly, I suspect that even if it dried out, they'd be in later today if they could, but tomorrow they'll probably begin to run again. Why did the marketplace move higher today?
Heck, who knows? We had some export bookings that looked fairly substantial on the corn, coming in at 25 million bushel old crop and almost 2 million bushel a new crop. Expectations for a large crop, I mean, we've been talking about a record crop for how long, Todd? Mm-hmm. So, you know, even though it seems to be getting a little bit larger, inching up at least, there's not a lot of new stuff to talk about, except we are seeing some commercial buying coming in. Commercial buying's been strongest in the wheat here this week, but we saw some commercial buying both in the corn and the beans as well. FC Stone numbers, holy smokes, were they big yesterday?
Yeah, tell me about those. They were huge.
Yeah, they were just shy of 15 billion bushels on the corn. But the thing that really caught my eye was the Illinois corn yield at 221.
Yeah, that's, let's see, we are at what, 194 officially from the United States Department of Agriculture.
Yes.
221 is just, by any account, it's an unbelievable figure.
Yeah, that's just a leap. And they came in on the bean side over 4 billion bushels of beans total, with a national yield at 48.4, which would be a record, but Illinois at 61 bushels per acre. Just huge.
Well, do farmers need to take heed of these numbers at all? I mean, they're in the midst of harvest. They're worried about the price, and here FC Stone comes with a number that would, when you just thought we were probably getting closer to the bottom and we could at least see it, a number that would push that bottom even further down.
I think the bottom is pushed down. It just says to me that we've got expectations of lower prices that are going to hang into the winter, excuse me, to try to get this crop moved in a timely fashion, but also that prices for beans, at least, are going to be a drag all the way into 2015. Because of expectations of large South American plantings and then large plantings in the 2015 crop in the U.S.
Hey, Ellen, thanks for taking the time with us. We'll talk with you again in 1 week. Ellen Dearden, of course, is with AgriView. She is out of Morton, Illinois, and joins us here on Illinois Public Media. This is WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.9, HD3 Urbana. A quick look at the marketplace shows December corn at $3.22.5, up 1.25. The March at $3.35.5, a penny and a quarter higher as well. November beans, $9.20.75, up 4 cents. January at $9.29.5, up 4.5. Bean meal, $1.90 higher. Bean oil, unchanged. December wheat at $4.88, up 9. And the July at $5.18.5 for the harvest month, 9.5 cents higher on the afternoon. Find us online at willag.org. Join us again in just 1 hour at about 10 minutes till for more ag programming.
Good morning. Israel's prime minister had a long talk with President Obama. He says they spoke of turning Arab nations into allies of Israel. Our talk with Benjamin Netanyahu on Morning Edition from NPR News. Coming up, why Netanyahu sees opportunity in the fight against ISIS. I'm Audie Cornish.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. The discovery of a man with Ebola in Texas raises questions for airlines and airports. We'll ask what preparations they've made to respond to signs of the disease. Also this hour, the journalist Charles M. Blow had an excruciating childhood. He tells our own Michelle Martin what he learned. And we have the dirt on New York City. We'll find out what scientists found when they started digging. It's Thursday, October 2nd. Photographer Annie Leibovitz is 65 years old. And the news is next.